Hebrews chapter 11. It's good to be here. Good to see many familiar faces, new faces, pretty faces, few ugly faces. Now, I was specifically looking one way when I made that statement, but anyway. Brother Davidson, thank you for letting me be here today on this special occasion. Of course, anniversaries, homecomings are for a specific reason, right? To remember what was done. This morning, I want to do something a little different. Instead of thinking about a normal anniversary, I want to look at three individuals this morning. One now, one the next service, and one the next service. Because I found in my life, it's individuals that have affected me the most. And I keep finding my mind going back to certain individuals and remembering individuals and what they've done for me. And it's remembering them that has caused me to stop and meditate on biblical principle, things that they have challenged me with, things that they have just point blank stuck their finger in my face more than once and said, you need to do this. You know, things like that. And here in Hebrews, and by the way, all three of these individuals we can find in Hebrews chapter 11. But in verse 24 through 28, I want to look first at Moses. And remember what Moses did and how that should affect our lives. Hebrews chapter 11, please, in verse number 24. Have you ever made a decision that affected your life? Yeah, I've made a few of those. 1973, I made a decision to accept Christ that altered my life in a way that at that point I'd never know. Just a year later, I made another decision to marry that lady sitting right back there. That altered my life second most past salvation. Sometime I think it altered my life because of salvation, because of her, more than just salvation itself. Because God's used her in so many ways. Then, of course, I've made a decision to serve the Lord. In the fall of 1978, on my knees in my living room, I gave my life to the Lord. I told him I'd go anywhere he wanted me to go and do anything he wanted me to do. And that changed my life. And of course, he's moved me around. If you haven't heard, Renee and I'll be moving to Darlington, South Carolina, just as soon as we sell our house. And be pastoring Victory Baptist Church in Darlington, South Carolina. A decision that I never thought I'd be making. I never thought that I would be leaving the ministry that God had given me at Ambassador, but God has a way of changing things. And I go back to that decision in the fall of 78. I said, Lord, I'd go anywhere you want me to go. So he's moved us again, redirected our lives. So a decision that has altered your life. If you've never made a decision that altered your life, I promise you, this morning is when you need to make one. Because if you haven't made a decision that altered your life, I promise you, this morning you've never made a decision to give your life to Christ, to do whatever he wants, because that decision will alter your life. Now, here's a man in Moses that made that kind of decision. At this point in Moses' life, where we're going to pick up and read about this morning, he had been in a very special place from the world standards. From the world standards, he had been in one of the most prestigious, powerful positions on the face of the earth. He had been in the place where whatever the world had to offer, he had at his fingertips. He could have enjoyed them. And the world would think, oh, what a great place to be in. But the decision he made lets you see that he considered that, but he didn't consider it as the most important thing in his life. Verse 24, please. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch him. Here, Moses. The process that Moses goes through here is the process of making a complete decision. I say complete decision because I've dealt with people for years and years that just made a partial decision. What you mean partial decision, Pastor Camp? I mean they didn't go through all the thinking that they should have gone through to make a complete decision, because they didn't make a complete decision. When they get in the midst of whatever they're doing and some hard time comes, they turn around and go back because they didn't make a complete decision. I've seen a lot of people say they're going to serve the Lord. By fact, I see a number of students here from Ambassador. Every year we see 50 to 75 young people come to Ambassador, and less than 50% of them graduate 4 years later. Well, I think a lot of them didn't make a complete decision. Of course, nowadays you see people, they get married, and what happens? 52% of them will end in divorce. Well, I think most of them didn't make a complete decision about what was going to be required of them to be in a husband and wife relationship. Nowadays, we find people that's going into the ministry. I mean, they are a pastor. And what happens? 5, 10 years, they've made a decision, and they're no longer going to be in the ministry. They didn't make a complete decision. The average American will change a career 3 times in their lifetime. I mean, if you go to college or go to some kind of tech school and you spend 2 to 4 to more years in training or something, and then you turn around and change your profession at least 3 times in your lifetime, you didn't make a complete decision. I don't think God changes his mind quite that quick. Where are you going to spend X number of years and X number of $1,000s training to do something, then after doing it 4 or 5 years, I'm tired of this, I'm going to go do something else. You didn't make a complete decision. What am I trying to say? You need to think through some things and make a complete decision. Notice the steps that Moses had in his life in order to make the decision that changed his life. Verse 24, you see, first of all, his denial. It says in verse 24, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused. Now, the word refused here means to, it's a very strong word. It means to repudiate. That word is sort of strong, repudiate. It means to renounce, to disown, to deny. But it carries that idea of it being in a strong way. Now, what did he refuse? Notice verse 24 again. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. And what you see here is he refused, first of all, privilege. Now, if you would go pull up the historian Josephus, Josephus says that Pharaoh did not have any other children other than a daughter. Josephus also tells us that his daughter had no children. So that would put, if you follow Josephus' line of thinking, that would mean that Pharaoh would have been the next one in line to be the Pharaoh or to be the king. He refused that privilege, that position. Literally, he refused, I am not the daughter of Pharaoh's son. I mean, that's a positive way in which he would have made that statement. But he refused that privilege. He refused that position. Secondly, his denial was one of prestige. Over in, turn over to Acts chapter 7 real quick, please. Acts chapter 7. We're going to be in Acts chapter 7 this morning more than once with Moses and with another one of the characters that we're going to look at. In verse number 22, it says, and Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in word and in deeds. Verse 23, and when he was a full 40 years old, it came into the heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. It says here that he was mighty, learned in wisdom, all the wisdom, and is mighty. In other words, great in words and in deeds. And the Hebrews tells us that when he was come to years. Now, what does that mean, when he was come to years? That little phrase literally means having become great. Having arisen to a position of rank. Again, Josephus tells us that Moses was a military leader, a very successful general. Josephus also tells us that he was a very productive architect. I wonder if Moses was responsible for some of the big buildings that historians have found in the country of Egypt, very possibly. But here, when he had risen to that position, so not only did he deny privilege or position, he denied prestige and power. As the king, he would have had the power to exercise whatever was on his heart, and he refuses that. Notice verse number 25, you see another thing that he denied, not only privilege and position, not only prestige and power, but in verse number 25, he denied pleasure. It says, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Now notice that little word at the very end, for a season. That is an emphatic statement. It literally stands at the beginning of the statement because that's what's being emphasized. It's literally for a season pleasures, for a season enjoyment. And the word enjoyment here in this word, the joy, enjoy the pleasures of sin, that literally means to indulge in a selfish way. And here it says he denied that. Now, remember, he had the best of the world at his fingertips. By the way, that is what Americans are dying for. They want the pleasures of this world. Young people all across America that are Christian, that are independent Baptists, are refusing to serve God for the pleasures of this world. What they want. Christians, not just young people, Christian older people, they have sacrificed service to God for an early or an easy retirement. It's amazing to see how that can change in a heartbeat. I had a friend over in Polk County when we lived over there. He was a pastor. He was a Southern Baptist pastor. And I'd known him for years, and I kept asking him when I'd see him. I said, "Brother Joe, when you're gonna leave the Southern Baptist and become an independent Baptist?" And he made this statement. He said, "I'm preparing my church for independency after I leave." I said, "Well, why don't you leave now?" He said, "Because they're not getting my retirement money." That was his quote. And he said that to me on more than one occasion. Well, he did retire. You know how long he lived? 6 months. They got his retirement. And there's a whole lot of people that, in a different kind of setting, instead of going out and serving the Lord, oh, they're working, they're piling up money for retirement. I promise you, God can change that in a hurry. Here he refused the pleasure. So we see, first of all, his denial. Notice, secondly, his declaration, verse 25. Choosing rather. Now, this word choosing here means preferring. Or to make a selection, it literally means to declare a preference. And that's, of course, my point, his declaration. Now, what is really interesting about this choosing is the action of choosing takes place before the action of refusing, where he says he refused. The choosing takes place before the refusing. All right, now keep that in mind because we're going to see that as we go down through here. In other words, he had thought it through. He thought through what he had to declare, what he had to choose before he refused a certain action. But notice his declaration is one of preference here in verse number 25, choosing rather. Now that's an emphatic statement, that little word rather. It means for a better, you choose something for a better reason. So his choosing is for a better reason. Choosing what? To suffer affliction? Now, I don't know very many people in America that would agree with this. So many people in America are so pragmatic that they're never going to choose to suffer before pleasure. That's what, notice, he is choosing to suffer instead of pleasure. Now, I mean, that's just un-American, isn't it? It's definitely not a capitalistic thought. Y'all awake? But it's one of preference. Now, over in Acts chapter 7 and verse number 23, it says when he was a full 40 years of age, he decided to visit his brethren. In other words, what was his preference? Notice here, suffer. With whom? The people of God. So his preference was persecution, to suffer affliction. Now notice it says with here, with, together with. In other words, he wasn't just going to do this alone. He was going to connect himself with what he considered the people of God. The suffer affliction here literally means to be mistreated, to be persecuted, to endure trouble. Now here's a question. Did Moses know what this was? How many times had he personally observed the Hebrew people suffering persecution? Remember, it was one time when he saw this. Remember, he killed an Egyptian and buried him in the sand. Why? Because he saw them being mistreated. He didn't like that. And he knew what this persecution was, and he still chose it. That's pretty amazing, don't you think? Even though he knew what he was going to face, or could have faced, he chose that. So his declaration is one of preference, suffering, persecution over pleasure. That took some thought. I mean, this wasn't an easy decision. I'm sure that he Spent many nights thinking about it. But we see his denial. We see his declaration. Number three, look at verse 26. You see his decision. Esteeming. His decision for what? The word here, esteeming, is quite interesting because its action takes place before refused takes place too. Now notice, the choosing took place before refused took place. Esteeming takes place before refused take place. And the word esteeming here literally means to make a decision. It means to make a decision after you've weighed the facts. Now, that's the way you can make the decision. A lot of people make an emotional decision. And of course, when you make an emotional decision, that decision changes as the emotion changes. And some people's emotions change every few seconds. Really, I've seen people's emotions swing very sharply, just in a matter of minutes. All kind of things can happen that causes people decision to become very temporary. But this kind of decision right here was not one that's going to be temporary. It was going to be long-lasting. Why? Because he had weighed all the facts. Now, what had he weighed the facts about? Goes back to verse 26. Esteeming the reproach of Christ. So the first thing you see, the reproach of Christ, the word reproach means the disgrace, the insult, the reviling. And I've learned this about people. They don't like to be insulted. They don't like to be reviled. They don't like to be looked at with disgrace. And most people will do almost anything not to be viewed in those ways. And here we see Mosen, that's his choice. I mean, the world would look at Moses and say, Moses, we think you're probably insane. We think you need some medication. That's what doctors always give, medication. The United States of America is the most medicated country in the world. That means, in my opinion, they're the most distrusting of God in the world. Anyway, that's free. But back to this. His decision here was for the reproach of Christ. Notice the second thing that his decision also against the riches of Egypt. Notice it says in verse 26, greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. The reproach of Christ, greater riches? And that greater riches is a very emphatic statement in this. Greater riches than the in Egypt treasures is the literal statement here. The in Egypt treasures. Now again, what kind of treasures were in Egypt at this point in time? The best the world had to offer. That's what it had. Had the best chariots. Had the best housing. Had the best whatever. Why? It was the most powerful nation on the face of the earth at that time. So it would have had the best of the best. And here, Moses esteemed, before he refused, that he wanted the reproach of Christ instead of, or rather than, the riches of Egypt. That took some thinking. The American people as a whole are so busy and preoccupied with so many different things now, they can't think about Christ. One of the things that has affected the minds of most Americans, and can I meddle a few minutes? Media. I'm sick and tired of walking by people with a cell phone in their face and they can't see you. I don't like that. Amen. Students at Ambassador, you're no different. You come out of your class and we'll go from one class to another with your face in front of your phone. You go down, you're shopping and you can't say hello to anybody because they got their face stuck in their phone. Amen. You go to a restaurant, two people sitting at a table, they don't talk, they're both looking at their phone. Come on. People are more important than a stupid little box that's got a picture on it. Talk to people. Spend some time where you can think. I feel better now. But his decision was the reproach of Christ. His decision was against the riches of Egypt. Notice his decision back to verse 26. For, literally because, for he had respect unto the recompense of the rewards. His decision was the reproach of Christ. His decision was against the riches of Egypt. His decision was the reward received. Notice. And what is really interesting is this statement. He had respect. That literally is he was having. It's an ongoing, continuous action here. This wasn't something that he thought about once and then it left his mind. This was something that was continually on his mind. The recompense. That which, and simply the payment that he was going to receive. The reward here. What was he concentrating on? He was concentrated. He was thinking about, and by the way, that's what the word having respect means, to concentrate on, to focus on. And what it literally means is to look at something because you've taken your eyes off of everything else. That's what the word means. You know what that requires? Self-discipline. It's difficult to take your eyes off of everything else and concentrate on only one thing. You know, most people are here, they're trying to concentrate on one thing. Squirrel. Something gets their mind and redirects them in a different way. Why? Because they don't have the discipline to focus on one thing. Now here's Moses. He was focused on that one thing. Why? He had removed his eyes from everything else. And what was he focused on? That which God was going to reward him for. Now, it seems like that many people in America and in independent Christianity have got to the place where they'd rather have temporary pleasure over an eternal reward. That just doesn't make sense. An eternal reward? Now, what that tells me is most people really don't put much stock in eternity. Eternity is a long time. And we're going to get to enjoy a long time with the Lord in a body that doesn't hurt. I am so sore this morning I can't hardly breathe. My wife worked me hard yesterday. I'm trying to get things done around the house so we can put our house on the market to sell. By the way, if anybody want to buy a house, I got one I need to talk to you. But I'm so sore. And one of these days I'm going to have a glorified body. It doesn't hurt. And I can enjoy the presence of the Lord, enjoy the presence of God's people from now on. That's a whole lot better than temporary pleasure of any kind. And here, his focus was on that reward that he was going to receive, and it was continuous. It was an ongoing thought in his mind. That's a pretty good decision. Notice verse number 27. We see not only his denial in verse 24 and 25. Not only would you see his declaration in verse 25. We see his decision here in verse number 26. But in verse number 27, we see his departure. By faith, he forsook Egypt. Now, that forsaken here, that he forsook, means to abandon. In other words, when he left Egypt, and of course, this is not talking about the first time he left when he was running because he was fearful of Pharaoh getting him. It's not talking about when he fled into the desert to get away. And it's talking about the second time. When he left Egypt, after he had gone into the Pharaoh and said, God said, let my people go. And God, of course, went through the whole process with Egypt and putting the 10 plagues upon them and teaching them that he was more powerful than any of their gods and bringing a discipline upon them where they said, all right, go, get out of here. And when Moses left that time, he knew he wasn't coming back. He had left it for sure. He had abandoned, he had forsook it. And that's what he talks about here now. His departure, as he forsakes Egypt, he says, not fearing the wrath of the king. The first thing we see in his departure, in that he forsook, he expected the protection of God. Notice, not fearing. Now, Moses knew a lot about the infrastructure of Egypt. Remember, he had been a part of that. Again, according to Josephus, he was a military leader. He knew the military capability of Egypt. Even after God had brought all kind of discipline on it, he knew what kind of military Egypt had, but he wasn't afraid of them. I mean, he shouldn't have been. I mean, after seeing God do those 10 plagues upon Egypt, he should have known what God could do, and he did, didn't he? Here's a question. What do you know God can do? Have you ever seen God do something in your life? If you haven't, you've missed a great opportunity. I mean, it's amazing. I'm old enough now, I can look back across my life and say, God protected me here. God protected me here. God led here. God blessed here. God did this. God did this. I mean, we could be up here a whole long time just telling you all the things God's done. What have you experienced? I mean, you need to step into that realm of life where God is doing something. You say, well, I haven't. Well, try getting in. Try getting in. Make that decision. See what God does. But we see here, he expected the protection of God. Let's go on. It says, not fearing the wrath of the king. Because he endured as seeing him who is invisible. You know, we see not only he expected the protection of God, he endured personally. He endured personally. What does that mean? That means literally he was patient. He persevered. You know, anytime you're working with the Lord, and we'll see this more in another character, we'll see that it requires some diligence on our part, some perseverance on our part. I mean, God expects us to put into action the faith that we say we have in him, right? I mean, James says, I'll show you my faith with my works, right? It's amazing we have developed within the independent Baptist circles so many people just think that faith is, here I sit. They think that that's faith. Because they're in church sitting there. No, that's not faith necessarily. That could be tradition if you're in the South. That's all it could be, tradition. Now, I hope that it's some perseverance. I hope that there's an exercise of faith there, but it doesn't necessarily have to be. Here, he endured. He put some perseverance in it, and he endured to seeing him who is invisible. He kept his, remember, he had taking his eyes off everything else, and he had focused on the Lord. So we see his departure here is his expectation of, we see his endurance. Number three, go back to this verse, as seeing him who is invisible. We see his experience, seeing. Now what is unusual about this one, this, by the way, is taking place at the same time as the refused. It's taken at the same time as the choosing and the esteeming as well. And it's an ongoing thing. He's experiencing, witnessing, perceiving him who is invisible. In other words, he's seeing the Lord. He's experiencing the Lord. Oh, by the way, if you are experiencing the Lord on an ongoing basis, do you think it would help you in your esteeming? If you're seeing the Lord, do you think it would help you in your choosing? If you're seeing the Lord continuously, ongoing here, do you think it would help you in your refusing? Oh, yeah. If you are not seeing him on an ongoing basis, it's going to affect you adversely. That's when you're going to see the world. That's when you're going to listen to your flesh. That's the reason. That's when the doubts that the devil's going to throw in your mind, you're going to pay more attention to them. But if you're seeing the Lord. Now notice it says, notice who you see, him who is invisible. Now how do you see him who is invisible? You don't see him with your eye of flesh, do you? No, you see him with eye of faith. The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You see him with eye of faith. You can see him clearly too. Right here. Amen. You'll see him on a and when you see him regularly right here, I guarantee it's going to affect your decision. It's going to affect your departing. It's going to affect your declaration. It's going to affect your denial when you see him. Notice verse number 28. We see the fifth and final thing in his life and a decision that changed his life. Through faith, he kept the Passover. His demonstration, or his doing, he kept the Passover. Now, what's really unusual about this one is, this kept here is a completed action. It's a completed action with a result that goes forward. You say, what are you talking about? Well, he performed this action. The word kept here means to perform. It means to accomplish, means to do, means to demonstrate. That's my point, his demonstration. It is a complete, in other words, he would never have to do it again. This right here is a picture of the sacrifice of the Lamb of God. Amen. The shed blood of Jesus Christ for you and me is a completed thing. Amen. Every single day there is a result from that, though. What is that? Today, my sins are gone. Amen. Today, I can see Him who is invisible. Today, I can do exactly what He wants me to do. Why? Because greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. That's why it's so important. Of course, this demonstration is, again, the Passover, the picture of the Passover here. He kept the Passover. Next, and the sprinkling of blood. You see the Passover, you see the pouring here. The word sprinkle here can mean pouring. He poured that blood on the side doors, across the top. Why? So the death angel wouldn't take them when he came, right? You know what kind of access the death angel has to you? You know what kind of access that the devil has to you? Only that which the Lord would allow for the purpose. But the devil can't make me lost this morning. He can't get my salvation. He can't get my fellowship with the Lord. Now, I can sort of hand that to him, but he can't get it. Your demonstration and my demonstration of our choice should be a life-changing thing for us and for anyone else that's around us for any length of time. It should affect them. His demonstration at the Passover, his demonstration at pouring the blood, notice, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. The purpose behind his demonstration here, lest he, and that lest is showing a purpose, lest he that destroyed the firstborn. Now, who is that? The death angel. Can you imagine the level of mourning that Egypt had that day? Now, I have had the responsibility of doing many funerals. There's been a few funerals in my life that I've enjoyed. You say, what are you talking about? They were godly, and it was not a sad, it was a rejoicing time at the funeral of some people. But usually funerals are very sad. People are full of grief. I've been at some funerals where when the people came by to view the body, I remember some of you know Mike Westmoreland, pastor down in Sumter, South Carolina now. He was a member of the church at Tri-City when I pastored up there. And he and his wife moved to Columbia, South Carolina, and pastored a little church there. And one afternoon, I got a phone call from Mike. He said, Pastor Camp, and that's all he said. He broke down and started crying. He finally composed himself. He said, Pastor Camp, I need you to come to Columbia, South Carolina. I said, why, Mike? He said, because my wife lost a baby last night. A baby that was that was scheduled to be delivered the next morning. And that baby died in the womb that night before it was delivered the next morning. And the next morning she delivered a dead baby that was a perfectly formed, looked perfect. What happened? The placenta had separated from her uterus the night before. And at that funeral, I stood at the casket, literally between them, and this arm was around Mike, this arm was around Dana. I had to stabilize my leg because I literally helped them up as they sobbed in front of that casket. Grief. Egypt experienced grief that morning like never before. They experienced this grief because they willingly would not say yes to the Lord's commands. Let my people go. Now, an application for you and an application for me is this. What has God said to you that you should do? And you say no. I promise you, you say no to God. And the consequences of that is going to be great grief and great mourning. I've had a lot of people say, well, I'll take my chances. Foolish for anybody to say, I'll take my chances against the judgment of God. Don't forget, he's sovereign. Don't forget, he knows exactly where your hurt button is. He knows exactly when to push that hurt button the most. You say, you make God sound like he's just waiting to punish us. No. He's more than long-suffering. But he knows when it's most effective to get your attention. I just hope it's not too late. You need to stop and make a decision that will change your life. Think the thing through, like Moses did. Don't forget, he esteemed before he refused. He chose before he refused. And he saw, was seeing him that is invisible in an ongoing way that helped him esteem, helped him choose, and helped him to refuse. See, when you see him, it's easy to esteem. When you're seeing him, it's easy to choose. When you see him, it's easy to refuse the things of this world when you're seeing him. But if you're not seeing him, everything gets all convoluted up. You don't really know which end's up. But when you do see him, well, I tell you, things are clear. Father, we thank you this morning for the life of Moses. I ask you now, Lord, to use these thoughts in the life of your people that may need to make a choice this morning to refuse the things of this world. To refuse their own personal wants for the sake of seeing you who is invisible and doing that which you want. So we pray your blessings in Jesus' name. Amen.